It's often said that the bond between a mother and her child is among the strongest bonds in the world. So what happens when a woman must come to terms with the fact that the child she thought she was raising may actually be someone else entirely? For mothers of transgender children, this story is a familiar one.
When I gave birth, my doctor told my husband and I that we had a girl, and we were excited and very happy. And for at least a couple years, I thought I was raising a girl and got very into raising a girl, you know, buying frilly dresses and trying to do all the girly things that we stereotypically do.
That's Alisa Bowman, co-author of the book Raising the Transgender Child, a complete guide for parents, families, and caregivers, and mother of a transgender son. She says it was early in her child's life that she noticed gender norms weren't taking root.
Probably starting around age 2, I was already noticing that this child that I thought was a girl was behaving in ways that didn't seem very feminine. I didn't know what that meant at the time, but I knew that I was raising a child that would not let me put a dress on, I'll say her for now, so as not to confuse the listeners. Really, I mean, seriously, could not get a dress on this kid. And I said, okay, fine, you know, this kid doesn't like dresses. But it went on and on and on to would not wear pink, would not wear polka dots, would not do anything with sparkles, wanted just about everything that you would stereotypically think of as masculine for a boy child, for instance, very into Power Rangers, very into superheroes, very into knocking things down and Legos. And all of my child's friends were boys, almost to a point of exclusion of girls.
But Bowman says the time she really noticed something was different in her child was when a preschool graduation ceremony went awry. For the ceremony, each student was supposed to wear a gender-identifying gown. The boys were supposed to wear blue, and the girls were to wear yellow.
At that time, my child was already shopping in the boys' department and wearing boys' underwear, and somehow those two things didn't quite click and make me think like there was something unusual. But it was this fight over what color gown that was going to be worn that really made me realize there was more going on here than just having a kid who was pretty masculine. My child totally didn't understand why yellow was the right color and why I would ever want the girl's gown on, I'm going to say, his body. And that was the only gown I had, so I had to force the issue. It was either that or not wear a gown at all. So, you know, we got through that experience, but there were just more and more moments of this isn't just about liking masculine things, this is about an identity.
And eventually, Bowman says these incidents began to pile up, prompting a visit to a gender specialist, Dr. Michelle Angelo.
What was really helpful is she showed us the science. You know, I'm a health and science writer, and once I understood the science of how the brain works, everything just fell into place for me. And I think my husband, he needed to hear it from somebody who wasn't me. And so therapy really helped that too. And so we slowly moved forward at that point. And I'd love to say that, you know, it only took Michelle telling us what to do once for us to do the right thing. It didn't. It took us actually a few more years before we fully transitioned our child to live fully and completely as a boy, but it was absolutely the right decision.
Dr. Angelo, who has since become Bowman's co-author on Raising the Transgender Child, says that though there hasn't been as much research done on what makes a person transgender, there is science to suggest the root cause is biological.
The science that we have shows that while in utero, the fetus is flooded at various critical times of development with hormones, both with androgen and with estrogen. And this is the part where it's still fuzzy, and they're working on this. They're not studying with fMRIs to get a little more science on this. But when they look at that part of the hypothalamus that directs the gender identity, they see that in people who are trans, so for example, with Elisa's child, who was assigned female at birth but is a boy, that though he likely has XX chromosomes, which would mean the anatomy develops as feminine, that part of the brain in the hypothalamus that actually gives him his gender identity was flooded with a lot more androgen than estrogen. and so his gender identity developed as male.
Angelo says most of the parents who come to see her about their children have similar questions and concerns. One of the questions she gets most often is, did we as the parents do something to cause this?
The very simple but very hard to believe answer is, no, you didn't. There's nothing you can do to cause an individual to be transgender. Just like there's nothing you can do to cause an individual to be gay or to be non-transgender. So we talk a little bit about that first. There's no fault here. This is not anything where we should be playing the blame game.
Bowman says after a time, she and her husband decided it would be best for them to accept their child's decision.
There's a psychological shift that has to happen. You know, you give birth to this child and you think that your child is one gender and you raise your child as that gender for a period of time. And all of your hopes and dreams are wrapped around your child being that gender. Whether you're aware of it or not, they are. And suddenly you find out that, wait, there's been a mistake. You're wrong. Your child's gender is really a different gender. And on this one level, you accept that. And I could say, okay, I understand I'm raising a boy, but there's a big part of me that mourned the loss of this child that I never had, but that I thought I was raising. And so it took me a really long time to not, for instance, walk through the girls' area of a department store and not almost break down in tears. And I know it sounds almost trivial, but it was like triggers like that.
Still, transgender issues are ultimately about the individual transitioning. Bowman says, though, it wasn't always second nature. She learned how to accept her son for who he is.
You've been calling your child a name for a period of years, and suddenly you're using a different name, or you've been using a certain set of pronouns, and suddenly you're using different pronouns. All of those things really take time, and they require a deep mental shift. And at some point, you get to the other side, and I'm at that side now where it would feel disconcerting now for me to use the wrong pronouns, for instance, or the wrong name. And I really don't often even think about the girl that I thought I was raising as much as I see this awesome boy and how much I'm so proud of this kid and, you know, who he is and who he's becoming.
When a person transitions genders, he or she will often change their name and ask their friends and family to adopt different pronouns than before. For a long time, these were referred to as preferred pronouns, but Angelo says that phrase is outdated.
It implies that, you know, I prefer if you use it, but if you don't, no big deal. So really, I stick with just encouraging people to say, what's your pronoun? Or what pronoun do I use for you? Taking a step back, those of us who take our gender for granted probably don't think a whole lot about our pronouns. But for somebody who's transitioning or who's considering transitioning, the pronoun really is the beginning of feeling affirmed and validated. And so as a cisgender person, as somebody who takes my gender for granted, I have a hard time even putting myself in this situation, but I can only imagine that if I were walking around the world and people were saying to me, hey, sir, or man, or he, him, on a regular basis, eventually that would be taxing and that would be frustrating. And it would at some point probably become just incredibly challenging to hear each time it came out of someone's mouth.
Still, it's clear not everyone is ready to accept transitions, especially in children.
I think the main thing that I would say is just to keep an open mind. Before you pass judgment and before you decide that you know what's best for someone else, instead, keep an open mind and seek out more knowledge and ask people about their experiences. You know, it's counterintuitive, the science of gender, and it's not necessarily what we were raised always to think. But when you listen to the experiences of real humans and really sincerely listen, what we are now understanding as the science of gender makes complete sense.
Dr. Michelle Angelo and Elisa Bowman's book, Raising the Transgender Child, A Complete Guide for Parents, Families, and Caregivers, is available now. For more information about all of our guests, visit our site at viewpointsonline.net. You can find archives of past programs there and on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Gary Price.